Let's turn in the scriptures to Numbers and chapter 20. And in Numbers chapter 20, we will be reading verses 1 through 29, the whole chapter. Numbers chapter 20, and beginning in verse 1, remember that these are the words of the Lord. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord! Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink." So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me, to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Now Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. "Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardship that has befallen us, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers. When we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent the angel and brought us up out of Egypt. Now here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your border. Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory." And Edom said to him, "You shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with the sword." So the children of Israel said to him, "We will go by the highway, and if I or my livestock drink any of your water, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more." Then he said, "You shall not pass through." So Edom came out against them with many men with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory, so Israel turned away from him. Now the children of Israel, the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, "Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar his son, for Aaron shall be gathered to his people and die there." So Moses did just as the Lord commanded, and they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days. Those are the words of the Lord. from chapter 19 and what came before it, we move in forward in time now. When we get to chapter 20, it is now the last year Israel was in the wilderness. This is the 40th year, and chapter 19 and before that, it was the second year. And before that, the first year, obviously. But here, between the second year and the 40th year, there's very little we know what happened in the wilderness, and we don't need to know, because God doesn't want us to know. But here we have through the death of Miriam, verse 1, and then we see, once again, Israel complained. And we see their need of water. But instead of inquiring of the Lord and asking for help, they complained about the Lord when they complained to Moses and Aaron. They would rather have died than inquired of the Lord. But thankfully they have mediators. And Moses and Aaron sought the Lord, and they were instructed here in this account of water coming forth from the rock. Moses was commanded to take the rod and gather Israel together at the rock and to speak to the rock. Think of what his commands were. He's take the rod, take all the people, gather them around the rock, and speak to the rock. And water would come out and supply all of Israel. And there we see the mercy of the Lord to this people who had complained against him. He was going to provide for them nonetheless. But Moses was upset still about apparently their contending with him, and maybe they're contending with the Lord again. And he didn't speak to the rock as he was commanded, but to the people. He spoke to the people. He said, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" It doesn't sound exactly what the Lord commanded him to do. It sounds exactly the opposite of what the Lord commanded him to do. And then Moses struck the rock with the rod twice, and water came out abundantly. And God provided mercifully, graciously for his people. But Moses had sinned greatly against the Lord. Moses did not believe the Lord, and he punished him that he would not enter the promised land but die in the wilderness, just the same as Aaron was punished for this as well. And this we think like in Psalm 95, where it talks about how Israel rebelled against God, the Lord, at Meribah. Here, this is what we're seeing in this passage. And so the promise there in Psalm 95 is that they would not enter his rest. And that was the same. And here he's keeping that promise to Aaron and then later to Moses. There was one time before this, early on in the wilderness, that Israel complained about not having water, Exodus 17, before they got to Mount Sinai. And the Lord provided, and there Moses was commanded to strike the rock one time, but not here. He was not commanded to strike the rock. And we learn in 1 Corinthians 10 what we already know if we're familiar with that passage. We read it when we had the Lord's Supper, that all drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness because they had rebelled against him. And so it was Moses and his sin that struck Christ, the rock so symbolized. And yet, despite his sin and the sin of Israel in the face of an ungrateful and unfaithful people, the Lord Jesus Christ was still struck for them graciously. And crucified for their sins and for ours. We've talked about also in Numbers a couple of times the congregation needing to honor their elders. We see that the congregation does not do that again here, and they don't honor the Lord. But here, while we might make the application again, we could certainly do that. We also see the importance of elders or leaders in the church not being angry with the congregation. With the sheep, no matter how rebellious the sheep might get, in which an elder then sins because of it towards them, as we see Moses did here. Rather, like the Lord, we are to be elders, deacons, leaders of the church, pastors. We are to be long-suffering to the sheep and patient. And through verse 21, we see Israel attempt to go through the land of Edom, but be turned back. This would cause Israel to go much further south and away from the promised land, to go around Edom in order to get to the promised land. And yet here there's no word that Moses inquired of the Lord. And we might ask the question, why not? Especially if we think of the next chapter, which maybe you're not as familiar with, because we haven't read it yet. But they did inquire of the Lord there. Why did they not inquire here? And so they, it seems, are punished for that, and they were not allowed to go through Edom. And then finally we see the death of Aaron, the high priest, and Eleazar's installment in his place. Israel watched Aaron go up the mountain and in a sense was punished for his sin with Moses here. And he did not enter the promised land. So Eleazar, Aaron died, and the high priest's garments were transferred to Eleazar, and he comes down. So you have this picture for if you're Israel, the congregation, that Aaron the high priest and Eleazar go up, and Aaron doesn't come back down, and Eleazar comes back down dressed as the high priest. A very clear picture of the Lord ordaining him to that office. And then Israel mourned Aaron's death. God had in place all the laws, everything as it was to be, that Israel could continue worshiping the Lord despite not having Aaron anymore. And so there's this picture of succession. And it's a picture that we ought to remember in the church as well. In the church, there's always going to be succession of the leaders that Christ puts, or the under-shepherds of Christ's church that He puts into place. And we ought not to put our faith in one man or one elder or one pastor or one deacon or anything like that. That's always a great temptation, though. But one day, you know, Dave will be gone. One day I will be gone. One day the deacons will be gone. And there will be elders and pastors and deacons after us. Thankfully, in our congregation and through the church throughout the world. And so we need to remember that and continually be praying for those who are being raised to come into those offices according to God's appointment. And in those situations where we lose a pastor or lose an elder, maybe losing a pastor is more common because pastors are often called to other churches. We ought to remember that we still continue as the bride of Christ. We still continue as a congregation. And that we know that He will provide a new one. He'll provide a new elder. He'll provide a new pastor. Mourn as we might over it. Maybe it's through death or through a great loss of a man of God who we respect and love. We might mourn over that or grieve. God and His Word, remember, remain forever. And the church will never fall apart. And so we must continue to trust our mediator king, who is Jesus Christ. He's on the throne. We just sang of Him. As it says in Psalm 115, O Israel, trust in the Lord. And that is church, trust in the Lord, not in what you might see with your eyes. And much to learn about that as we go through Romans today as well and 1 Chronicles. And so and this evening. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, there's a lot of things we can learn from this chapter in the very short amount of time we just looked at it. And Father, we give You praise that You raise up Your under-shepherds and servants in Your church. And in the church today, pastors and elders and deacons. We give You praise for making those who are called to such clear. And we're thankful even now that You're preparing the next pastor for this congregation, the next elders for this congregation, and deacons. Father, we give You praise for that, and we give You we put our hope that You will bring that about at the right time and Your plan. And we're thankful for Your commands. Father, we often treat them lightly, even perhaps like Moses did and Aaron did here. Disobeying Your command, Your clear command. Even Moses had partial command, partial obedience. He took up the rod, which he was supposed to do, but then he disobeyed in his anger against the people and struck the rock twice and angrily speaking to the people. Father, we're thankful for this great picture that though we might sin in similar ways, or even the leaders of the church might sin in similar ways, Father, we give you praise for Christ and his sacrifice and him being struck for us, not spared but delivered up for us all who are your children. And Father, we give you praise in all things because we have sinned greatly against you this week. And even today, this morning, we have complained and grumbled like Israel did. We have perhaps got angry at one another as we were perhaps preparing to come here, or in our time here in our hearts, we've been angry perhaps. Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins and that you would see and receive Christ alone for our sins. He being the perfect sacrifice to satisfy your justice. Father, we ask that you would watch over us and keep us from sin as we continue worshiping you, that you would be glorified in all that we do, and of course, our worship being perfected by your Son, in which we continue exalting in him because of this, and that he lives to make intercession for us. So, Father, we pray that you'll receive not only our prayers and our singing, but all of our worship, even our hearing of your word today in Christ your Son. Father, we also ask for your safety towards and help towards the McQuash family as they're traveling and gone from us this week. We ask that you would watch over them and have them to be worshiping at a godly church, gospel preaching church today. Father, we also pray for our evangelism efforts in the community. We pray that you will bless those efforts and bringing new disciples to into your church, the bride of Christ. Father, we ask that you would use us as instruments and even raise up more volunteers to do this, to call sinners to repentance, to be the weak vessels that carry the grace and the good news of Jesus Christ to sinners. And may many be saved. We might even pray that few would be saved, but we can pray in faith knowing that you will save many. And so we pray that many will be saved through our efforts and throughout the efforts of all the church that you're using throughout the world. And even those places which are under enduring persecution that we will also hear about this morning in Romans 8, we ask that you would give them strength and their gospel witness, that they would not turn from you in their suffering and struggle. And Father, we ask that you would strengthen their weak bodies and souls to be a great witness for you of your Son Jesus Christ. And then, Father, we do ask for those struggling in their bodies amongst us. Father, heal them and strengthen them. Father, we also ask that you would watch over us as a church, as a congregation of your church, that you will keep us from sin and error, even in the preaching and teaching and the hearing, how we hear. Father, we ask that you would keep us from error and temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Father. And grow us in faith and holiness and righteousness for the glory of your Son alone and for our good. Father, we ask that you would work all things together for our good. And any here who do not know you, maybe even some who've professed faith and yet truly don't know you or not in union with Christ, Father, we ask that you would call them to yourself today, and that this would be the day of salvation for them. That you would send your Holy Spirit in and unite the Spirit with the Word and save hearts eternally. For we pray, as we plead all these things, we pray in the precious and glorious name of Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. And we pray in his name. Amen. Amen.